Welcome to the Nowercast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, A.
And I'm B. Today, we are diving into a fascinating structural bottleneck in Anthropic's Claude code that is currently driving power users up the wall.
We are also looking at a concept that recently blew up on Hacker News called dopamine fracking. It is a rather bleak but incredibly fitting metaphor for the modern attention economy and how platforms are engineering engagement.
Plus, in our roundup, we will touch on a satirical React library taking aim at AI startup aesthetics, a developer's inspiring story of rebuilding their life after a felony conviction, and the BBC's new data on why social media feeds feel less social than ever.
It is a packed show with a lot of interesting cultural and technical intersections. Let's get right into it.
Let's start with an essay by a blogger going by the name IGMN. The post hit the top of Hacker News on June 8th, racking up over 600 points, and it introduces a term that I think is going to stick around in the tech lexicon, dopamine fracking. It is a phenomenal metaphor. The author uses the concept of industrial hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, to describe the modern tech industry's approach to the attention economy. In the physical world, fracking involves blasting high-pressure fluid into bedrock to extract oil and gas that would otherwise be inaccessible.
Right. And in this digital metaphor, the bedrock is human experience, our daily lives, and our attention. The resource being extracted is concentrated dopamine hits. The high-pressure fluid they are blasting us with consists of aggressive algorithmic optimization, deep data analytics, and what the author calls crowdsourced math.
The core argument here is that tech platforms are applying min-maxing strategies to casual and complex human activities alike. The goal is singular: prioritize short-term engagement and retention over absolutely everything else, including long-term sustainability and user well-being.
And just like physical fracking, which can cause earthquakes and contaminate groundwater, dopamine fracking is described as being fundamentally destructive to the long-term health of our culture and creativity. It is an industrialization of human experience. We are no longer just consuming media. Our psychological responses are being aggressively mined.
The Hacker News discussion around this was intense. A lot of developers and engineers, the very people building these systems, were chiming in. One of the main points of debate was whether this is actually a new phenomenon. Some users argued that mass media, television, and advertising have been commodifying culture and attention for a century.
That is true, but I think the scale and the precision are what make this different. A television network in the 1990s could not A/B test a sitcom's pacing in real time based on the micro dilations of your pupils or the exact millisecond you decided to change the channel. Today's algorithmic feeds, like TikTok or YouTube Shorts, are doing essentially that. They are constantly adjusting the feed based on highly granular interaction data.
Exactly. The feedback loop is instantaneous. And because the algorithms are optimizing for the absolute maximum engagement, they naturally gravitate toward content that triggers the strongest, most immediate neurochemical response. Often, that means outrage, extreme novelty, or highly concentrated visual and auditory stimulation.
Which brings us to the exhaustion factor. The essay suggests that this aggressive extraction leaves users feeling drained. We might spend 2 hours scrolling, but we don't feel satisfied or enriched. We just feel empty. The dopamine has been extracted, but no actual value has been deposited back into our lives.
It raises a serious question about the behavioral science behind all of this. Does the term dopamine fracking oversimplify the neuroscience? Probably. Dopamine is a complex neurotransmitter involved in motivation and reward prediction, not just pleasure. But as a cultural critique, the metaphor is incredibly sharp. It captures the brute force nature of the modern internet.
And it also highlights the lack of agency. When you are being fracked, you aren't a participant. You are a resource. The platforms aren't building tools for you to use. They are building tools to use you.
That is the crux of the issue. And for the tech industry, it presents a massive ethical dilemma. If your entire business model relies on extracting maximum attention at the expense of user well-being, is that sustainable? Eventually, you run out of bedrock to fracture. you hit a point of diminishing returns where users just completely burn out and disengage.
We are already starting to see signs of that platform exhaustion, which actually ties into one of our roundup stories later about the decline of personal posting on social media. People are recognizing the toxicity of the environment and pulling back.
The challenge is that the financial incentives for dopamine fracking are astronomical. The companies that do this best are the most valuable companies in the world. Until there is a fundamental shift in how we monetize the internet, or significant regulatory intervention, the fracking is likely to continue. It is just too profitable to stop.
Moving on to our second deep dive, we are shifting gears to look at a highly technical but incredibly frustrating issue currently plaguing developers using Anthropic's Claude code. There is a GitHub issue gaining a lot of traction, titled Feature: Allow Users to Configure Per-Turn Tool Call Limit. To set the stage here, Claude code is Anthropic's agentic coding tool. It is designed to automate complex, multi-step software engineering tasks. It does this by chaining together various tool calls, things like reading files, executing shell commands, and interacting with MCP, or Model Context Protocol servers.
The promise is that you can give Claude code a high-level objective, and it will autonomously figure out the steps, use the necessary tools, and complete the task. But developers are running into a hard-coded brick wall.
Right. Claude code and the Claude desktop interface currently enforce a strict server-side limit on how many consecutive tool calls the model can make in a single turn. Reports indicate this limit triggers somewhere between 10 and 20 iterations.
When that limit is hit, the Anthropic API's server-side sampling loop forcefully halts the process. It returns a stop reason of pause turn. The user is then presented with a message saying, Claude reached its tool use limit for this turn.
And at that point, the autonomous agent is no longer autonomous. It stops dead, and the user has to manually intervene by clicking a continue button to let the model proceed with the next batch of tool calls.
For casual users, clicking continue once in a while might not be a big deal. But for enterprise developers building complex workflow orchestrations, especially those running multiple MCP servers and parallel agents, that 10 iteration limit is exhausted almost instantly.
Exactly. Imagine you ask Claude to debug a complex memory leak in a large Node.js application. It might need to run a dozen grep searches, read 20 different files, and execute several diagnostic scripts just to build its internal context. Hitting a hard stop right in the middle of that discovery phase completely breaks the flow.
But the interruption is only half the problem. The real kicker is the cost. Every time the model is forced to pause and the user clicks continue, the system has to resend the entire conversation context back to the API.
This is where it gets genuinely punitive. If you have a massive context window built up, say 100,000 tokens of codebase architecture, and you get paused, resuming the task means processing those 100,000 tokens all over again. This burns through the user's token limits and rapidly accelerates the depletion of their 5-hour usage quotas.
It is essentially a usage tax imposed by a safety guardrail. The GitHub issue notes that this limit is almost certainly designed by Anthropic to prevent infinite loops. You don't want an AI agent getting stuck in a logic loop, repeatedly calling a tool that fails, and burning thousands of dollars in compute costs in an hour.
That is a valid concern for Anthropic. Runaway AI costs are a real threat in agentic workflows. But developers are arguing that a hard-coded, one-size-fits-all limit of 10 iterations is an outdated constraint. It treats all users and all tasks with the same blunt instrument.
And there is no way to bypass it. The issue thread points out that there are no configuration keys in the settings.json file, and no environment variables that allow users to adjust this limit. Even users on the higher-priced Pro and Max tiers are subject to the exact same restrictions.
The community is asking for configurability. If I am a developer and I am willing to accept the financial risk of a runaway loop, I should be able to set my per-turn limit to 50 or 100. Or alternatively, the system should allow me to set a token budget per task, rather than an arbitrary count of tool calls.
Another suggestion is that Anthropic should implement a no-cost continuation policy for these specific server-mandated interruptions.
If the API is the one forcing the pause for safety reasons, the user shouldn't be penalized with the context overhead required to resume the task.
It is a critical moment for Claude Code. If Anthropic wants to dominate the professional agentic coding space, they need to trust their power users. Artificial bottlenecks that hinder utility and inflate costs are going to drive developers toward open-source alternatives or competitors who offer more granular control over the execution environment.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up the show.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Sticking with our previous topic just for a moment, we saw another GitHub issue filed for Claude Code, titled in Chinese, Yunqiu Yonghu Pager Mei Luan Gongju Diaoyong Shangxian, which translates to, allow users to configure per-turn tool call limit.
Yeah, this is literally the exact same issue we just discussed, but filed separately by Chinese developers. It really underscores how universal this friction point is. The issue explicitly points out that the continue mechanism acts as a penalty, consuming tokens and burning through the 5-hour limit. When developers across the globe are hitting the exact same 10 iteration wall and filing identical feature requests in different languages, it is a clear signal to Anthropic that the current server-side guardrails need an overhaul.
Next up, a deeply personal and inspiring blog post titled Building from Zero After Addiction, Prison, and a Felony. Software engineer Gavin Ray published the piece, detailing his history with amphetamine addiction and his time in a maximum security juvenile prison. Ray, who later received a felony conviction at age 19, wrote about how he managed to rebuild his life and career entirely through self-taught software development and open-source contributions. He mentioned he was inspired to go public after reading a similar disclosure from Preston Thorpe, an engineer at Terso. It is a powerful reminder of how the meritocratic nature of open-source software can provide a unique pathway for individuals with criminal records to bypass traditional, and often exclusionary, hiring biases.
Over on Hacker News, a project called Performative UI is generating a lot of laughs and a lot of discussion. It is a satirical React component library featuring 26 components designed to mimic the high-hype design tropes we see constantly in modern tech startups.
This is brilliant. It is MIT licensed and includes components like Sticky Banner for announcing funding rounds nobody cares about, a status dot that is hard-coded to always be green regardless of actual uptime, and Prompt Hero, which replaces standard value propositions with fake text inputs to make the product look AI native. It is a very sharp critique of how standard and, frankly, performative web design has become in the current ecosystem, where visual flair is used to signal innovation, even when the product lacks actual utility.
Finally, a report from the BBC titled Antisocial, It's Fads, Not Friends, which now dominate social media feeds. The article highlights that nearly one-third of social media users report posting less frequently than they did a year ago, a trend that is particularly pronounced among Gen Z.
According to the research, platforms have fundamentally shifted away from their original purpose of connecting friends and family. Instead, algorithms now heavily prioritize content from strangers to maximize watch time. Dr. Sophia Ropeck-Hewson noted that these spaces have morphed from community-building tools into profit-driven entertainment environments. This shift explains the growing sense of platform exhaustion and isolation, as users realize they are no longer participating in a social network, but rather scrolling through an endless, optimized television channel.
And that brings us to the end of today's briefing. We covered a lot of ground, from the mechanics of the attention economy to the technical hurdles of autonomous coding. Stay curious!